We are doing the Rambam and Pirkei Avot. We're up to the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avot, the first Mishnah. And on this Mishnah, we're up to the fourth Mishnah. In this Mishnah, Rabbi Levitas Ishiavne taught us that a person should be very, very Shfal Ruach. And we translated Shfal Ruach in a general sense. We translated it as modesty, even though there's room to discern between anava and shaflut ruach. And the Rambam had said that really there's a difference between anava and shiflut. Shiflut is extreme, what we would call maybe extreme modesty, or not modesty, extreme humility. And anava is balanced humility. And what?
Do we call it the way Moshe was called Anal Me'od?
Again?
Anal Me'od?
We'll get to that. So, that's a good question. Let's wait and see. The Rambam had said that Ga'ava has many names, and he gave us an enumeration of some of the names, and he said Shiflut Ruach is the opposite extreme. Then the Rambam had told us that ordinarily we don't recommend people going to extremes. Ordinarily the Torah wants us to be on the balanced path, aside from when it comes to modesty. That is the one trait where a person has to go to the extreme and remove it completely. Then he quoted that funny story. We discussed that last time. Why sometimes he says Endkas and why not. That was discussed also in the introduction. When we hit the fourth chapter, I think we expanded on that. The Rambam then quoted us the funny story about that pious person who was on a ship in tatters, and he was sitting in the third class, and someone from first class went to the back of the ship and relieved himself on his head. And then the Rambam says, this pious person said, I looked at his brazenness and I wasn't upset at all at what he had done. And when that happened, that was the happiest day of my life. The Rambam is describing a story where they asked a very pious person, what was the happiest day of your life? He said, that day, when that happened to me and I saw he hadn't reacted. That's where a person can reach the extreme humility where that doesn't affect him. He looks at him and says, boy, he's brazen, but why should that affect who I am? That doesn't affect him. And then the Rambam said, I want to first mention what Chazal teaches in praise of humility. So the Rambam had said that humility outdoes even wisdom. And that because it is so dangerous, that's why the sages instructed us to go to the extreme when it comes to this trait, to go for extreme humility. The Torah even describes God as being humble, that Hashem always looks out for the person who are, the people who are on the bottom. And he continued to say we should learn from Moshe, who is whole in all his traits. And after we know that Moshe was great in wisdom and great in prophecy and great in Torah, when the Torah wants to praise him, what does the Torah say? Anav me'od. And the word me'od, in relation to your question, is indicates, says the Rambam, that Moshe went to the extreme when it came to humility. He went to the complete extreme of humility. And that's what you find Moshe saying. What do you want from us? Moshe and Aaron say. What do we have anything to do with this? They brought the man, they brought the water, they've been guiding them through a desert where no one can live, and they've led 2 million people in that desert. But when they come and they say, well, they come to Moshe with the problem of the water, Moshe says, what are you looking at us for? Me and Aaron, what can we do? V'nachnu ma. David also says, David is the king, he's in charge of everything, he's a prophet, he's the head of the 70 elders, and nonetheless, he speaks of himself as Levi Nishbal v'nitke, God, even a guy like me, if I have a broken heart, you won't mock me. David doesn't say a guy like me has all these merits, look at everything I've done. No, David says Lev nishbal v'nitkeh Elokim lo tivze. So after the Rambam has described the praise that Chazal pour on the trait of modesty, the Rambam begins with telling us on what do Chazal have to say about pride. Yes, sir. And therefore,
that's the inner feeling you should have if you want to have real teshuva.
Okay.
So I don't see the connection.
I'll try to answer you in a nutshell, and if we need to expand, so we'll have to leave it for the question and answer session later. Okay. I'll tell you the truth. In this learning, I try to stick to the Rambam. And whatever I'm going to tell you now is my understanding of the Rambam. I think it's correct, but I don't know. It's me. It's not the Rambam. And being that's the case, I would rather wait and not do it in this class where we're doing Rambam. Let's do it afterwards. We'll try to address the question. It involves understanding, well, what is anava? and what was David HaMelech saying here, and what could he have said here? So that's something which Be'ezrat Hashem will deal with, but I'm trying to be very, very accurate and honest to the text, so I'd rather leave that question for later, because that involves my understanding. You know. So, okay, so we're continuing. And the Rambam says...
Could you go back to that?
Remind me, yeah.
No, just now. Like, just go back to what I said.
So that we did last week. It's a long paragraph, that's why I can't do it. I just did a summary of what we did last time. The Rambam says, we dedicate our learning of Pirkei Avot to Karl Chaim ben Meir Haber. So the Rambam says, Umimash amru ba'gava, and what did our sages tell us about pride? Omram kol adam sheyesh bo gasut ruach kilu uved avda zara. Our sages said, a person who's proud, it's as though he served idols. K'tivacha, when it comes to pride, what does the Torah say? To'avat Hashem kol geva lev. Person who's proud is disgusting before Hashem. V'ktiv hatam, and when it comes to idol worship, what does it say? Lo tavi to'eva al beitecha. Don't bring that disgusting thing into your home. You see, the word to'eva, disgusting, is used to describe both a person who's haughty and a person who's and idols. Yes, sir.
is there a like punishment for being around a person like that?
Let's discuss that in the question and answer.
Can also be related to ayot.
You could that also. Let's leave for the question and answer.
Where was this?
We're in the Rambam on the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avot, the fourth Mishnah, the Rambam's commentary. V'amru kilu, again, out of respect for your questions, I asked to leave them for later. I could answer you in 1 second, but you deserve a longer answer, so that's why I'm asking to leave it for later. V'amru kilu kafal ba'ikar she'ne'mar v'ram levavecha v'shachachta et Hashem lokecha. Our sages said, a person who is proud, it's as though he denies the prime points of Judaism, as the verse says, V'ram levavecha, when a person's heart goes high, when he's proud, V'shachachta et Hashem lokecha, he forgets Hashem. What happens when a person's proud? The I becomes a capital I. There isn't room for God in his life, because all he's thinking about is himself. V'amru she'avon agava, and our sages said that the sin of being proud is like a person who had relations with all the prohibited women. Our sages said, God finds the proud to be disgusting. And it says, with regard to the prohibited women, for they've done all these disgusting things. Yeah? Our sages said, a person who is proud, next to God, he is like idol worship, he himself. The prophet says, cease having faith, cease taking pride in that man who relies on the breath that he breathes, klomar ruchok gvoha, asher neshama ve'apo, he takes in the air, he is proud, ki v'minich shavu, amru v'minich shavu, b'manich shavu, our sages said, he is like a bama, he is like a forbidden sacrifice. Someone who's proud, sometimes people look up to him, he has confidence. Our sages say he himself is like a bama, he's like a forbidden sacrifice. And that's something people should take note of. Very often people are swept by someone just because he's confident. We've had it throughout our history. And we don't always look at confidence as being something so positive. A certain amount of confidence is important. You don't get out of bed without confidence, right? but after that, just because someone's confident doesn't mean you should listen to him. It doesn't mean he's right. It doesn't mean anything. All it means is that he's confident. And overconfidence and pride, those are usually indications that that's someone you should stay away from. Chazal said, "B'menichshavu." Why is he so important? Why is it that everyone looks at him as nechshav, as important? Chazal said, don't read it as bameh, but rather we apply the derivation of bama nechshavu. He is considered a bama. He is considered a forbidden sacrifice. What's the idea? What are Chazal telling us? What do you do when you sacrifice? You say, I respect, I bring a sacrifice to this idol or whatever it is. What does a person do when he sees someone who's overconfident and he's also saying, I respect him? Why? Our sages said, someone who's proud, really he deserves the death penalty. Our sages said, someone who is very proud, it's fitting to be uprooted like the Asherah, the forbidden tree that was worshipped. And one place the verse says, the prophet Isaiah says, those that are proud will be uprooted. And that same terminology of uprooting is applied to the Asherah. That's an indication, just like the Asherah, the tree that was worshipped here in Canaan, when the Canaanites were here. We have a mitzvah to uproot that tree. By the same token, a person who's proud must be uprooted. Our sages said a very scary thing. They said that when the dead are brought back, those that are proud will not be brought back. Our sages said in the Talmud in Sota, someone who's proud, his dust, so to speak, will not be awoken when the time comes. When the verse describes the resurrection of the dead, the verse says, "Hakitzu v'ranenu shochnei afar, arise, give song, you who dwell by the earth." It doesn't say shochvei afar, those that are sleeping in the earth. It's not a description of those that are dead, but rather it's a description of the type of lives they led when they were alive. The Torah says, "Shochnei afar," those that lived by the earth, those that were humble. Ela shochnei afar, mishna asa shachen afar b'chayav. Someone who was a neighbor to the earth throughout his life, meaning he led a humble life. Klomar ha'navim, those that were humble, hem sheyichyu, those are those that will be brought back when Hashem brings back those from the dead. But those that are proud, the Talmud says, Hashem says, let them stay with their pride in the earth. Yes?
So it's like, is pride like a sin? Or is, it just seems like the way it's being described.
Correct. It seems like it, the way it's being described. I agree? Yes?
Can Rob expand on should stay away from? Like, is there onus involved, stuff like this?
I didn't follow what you mean.
The Rob said, proud person, we all should stay away from. To some effect, I'm reiterating my earlier question, but I want to...
So the practical applications, I think, are that's, again, that's my explanation. Let's finish the Rambam, and then after that we'll get to that. Just remind me.
Can the Rob at some point tonight explain definitions of pride and practical?
Again, so okay. So remind me, Bezat Hashem, we'll get to that.
Thank you.
Yes.
As far as pride being a sin and stuff, what about, like, because I hear some people saying, "Oh, I'm proud to be Jewish, you know? So does that make it a sin? I mean...
So that's where David's point is so important. We have to define the word pride. Because, you know, there are all kinds of pride. Some prides are important, some prides are wrong, and sometimes the word is misused. So we have to understand what the Torah means by gava, and what does the Torah mean by anava. And Bezrat Hashem, in order to understand that, we'll also look at the Rambam in his introduction. The Rambam gives examples.
Right.
So we'll get back to that, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, that deserves its own understanding. That's
also for somewhere.
Is this later in the paragraph, essentially?
No, it's really going back to the fourth chapter of the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avot. But the only thing is, all the things I said we'd go back to is on the condition that you bring them up. I won't remember how many points we have to go back to.
No, it's on the condition that my hand being raised.
We'll get this. Bezrat Hashem, we'll try to get to everyone tonight. We'll try. Vefligu beze v'amru, and our sages went so far and they said, Kol adam sheyesh bo gasut ruach, anyone who has pride, Shechina mialelet alav, the Shechina weeps over him. Shenemar, as the verse says, v'gavoh mimechak yeyeda, God from a distance sees the guy who's proud and weeps over him. Vod rabim, we have many other sources like this. Komram, as our sages taught, Shegam atzarat, even that white spot that causes a person to be defiled, Onish lageim, is a punishment to those who are proud. Amru, they said, when the Torah describes the different forms of tzaras, it says, Velaseit, velasapachat. One type of blemish is a se'et, a lifted blemish. One type of blemish is a sapachat. Ve'en se'et elagova. The word se'et means lifted. Shenemar ha'gva'ot anisa'ot. V'chilu amar la'mitnaseh ha'sapachat. So it's as though the verse says, you know who's going to get a blemish? Person who lifts himself high. So what does it mean to be proud? When one lifts himself high. Person who is haughty. Ad she'amru, to the point that our sages taught, amar rava, rava taught, v'shamta de'it be'i, uv'shamta telet be'i. Cursed is a person that has any pride. Cursed is a person that has no pride. Isn't that contradictory? Rotze lomar, what he meant to say, shegam en roi lintot l'shaflut ruach legamre, he means, don't go to the complete extreme of humility, lefi she'en ze min ha'malot. You go too far, that's not something praiseworthy. V'she'arut ze b'derech mashal, so our sages said, okay, so how much pride should a person have? How much is healthy? So our sages said, chelek m'shishim v'arba, they said, an eighth of an eighth, 1/64. Okay, what does that tell us? Klomar, im nasim tegava b'kzeh achad, if we go to the extreme, we say, okay, we have a scale, on this end is gava. V'sheflut ruach b'kzeh sheni, and you put the other extreme is extreme humility. V'yeh b'nei mechak 64 chalakim, and you divide it into 64 segments in between both extremes. That's the two ends of the scale. Yamod adam b'chelek ha-63. So you should be on the 63rd rung. Don't go to the 64th rung. Don't go to the complete extreme. Go to the 63rd rung. V'lo ra'ui lematzea b'midah hazo davka kedei la'archik min ha-gava. And specifically when it comes to this trait, Chazal said, don't go for the middle road because you have to stay away from pride. Shim chisel chelek v'nitkarev la'gava yoter, harei nechnas b'chlan shamta. Because if he's a little bit off, he's already cursed. Zo hayta da'at Rava ba'anava. That was Rava's opinion when it came to pride, when it came to modesty. He said, don't go to the complete extreme. Go one rung off. 1/64th off of that. But that's how far you should go. So the Gemara then brings Rav Nachman who disagrees. Amar Rav Nachman. Where did Rav Nachman learn? In Narda. So Rav Nachman taught, Techlit v'amar she'en ra'uy b'shum panim she'e ba'adam imena. Rav Nachman said, no. Rava's wrong. You shouldn't even have 1/64th. Klomar min ha'gava, lo chelek katan, lo chelek gadol, lefi she'en onsho mu'at. Because the punishments for pride, they're not minuscule, there are huge punishments for pride, and so Rav Nachman said, go all the way, go to the extreme. Midah she'oseh et ha'adam to'avat Hashem. If you have a trait that Chazal say God finds a person disgusting if he has it, echoi litkerev la. How could you say, don't go to the extreme, just go one notch over? Amru binyan zeh amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak lo mina velo mikzata. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, no, don't even take a little bit. Mizuto mai dechtiv to'avat Hashem kol valev. Is it a small thing in your eyes? The Torah describes it as someone who is disgusting in God's eyes. ומחמת חומר האבון הזה אמרו, and because this sin, this goes to what Yitzchak asked earlier, the Rambam here calls it a sin, because of the weight of this sin is so great, that's why our Mishnah teaches, מאוד מאוד הווי שפל רוח, a person should be very, very humble, שתקוות אנוש רימה, because the end of mankind is vermin ultimately. כלומר שראוי לך ללמוד מוסר לעצמך. A person should teach himself. He should train himself and remind himself עד שתסיר את הגאווה על ידי שתתפונן באחרית הגוף שסופו להיות רימה. When a person takes into account, what am I? Where will I spend most of the time? As worm food. That's where I'm going to end up, as a worm. And if a person thinks, this is a worm, and that's a worm, and this is another worm, what am I? It's only a matter of time till I'm creeping, crawling vermin. And then a person says to himself, so what am I so proud about? But what's there to be proud about? My hair. That's going to be vermin too. What's there to be proud about, right? I could say that, I'm not here. Huh? but
kids, really.
That's why you have a big kippah, right? No, but it's a way of training oneself, says the Rambam. When a person thinks, where he's going to end up, then he says, okay, well, why am I so full of myself? So the Rambam says, this is the one trait where the Torah says, go all the way to the extreme, because it's so risky to go the middle ground, and like the Rambam says in the introduction, it's also a trait where a person more easily errs, meaning it's more natural for us to be proud. So we still have to define what is pride, what is humility. We'll get there, Bezat Hashem. Yeah, Yitzchak.
But do we ultimately know where we're going to end up? I mean,
well, I think that the grave diggers will attest that they haven't yet seen a person that didn't end up as vermin. Right? So that's probably where we're all going to end
up. There's like 10 guys you got out of it.
Okay. Yes, what was your question?
Word towards that. But what about the afterlife?
What about?
The afterlife.
That's fine. But if we'd really be thinking about the afterlife, we wouldn't be proud either. The Rambam is telling us a simple way, the Mishnah is telling us a simple way to take out some of our hot air. If you think of where it's all going to end up, so then there's not that much to be proud about. Yeah.
Was Korach punished for pride or something else?
Was Korach what?
Punished for pride or something else?
Maybe later we could get to that. Yes, sir.
It's important to mention from David Hamilton, Tehillim, that he says, "Ani tola at velo ish," and if he says about himself, what am I?
Yefe, yeah. Shmuel.
Yeah, Rabbi, I was just wondering, why doesn't the written Torah, you know, the five books of Moshe, say even once about the afterlife?
It's a good question, but right now we're doing Rambam. Maybe later we'll get to it. Okay. If you want, we have a few classes on it. We discussed Maimonides' answers, Nachmanides' answer, the Ran's answer. It's all online. But if you want us to discuss it tonight, we'll try to get to it.
Is there a question answer session after this?
There's Rat Hashem, but it seems like guys have a lot of questions that precede that. Let's continue. Mishnah Hey. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, "Hamchalel shel shamayim baseter nifrein mimenu bagalui." One who desecrates God's name in hiding, he figures, no one knows I'm cheating on my taxes. No one knows what I'm doing here on the internet late at night. No one knows what I'm doing. Nifrein mimenu bagalui. God pays him back in public. Echad shogeg veechad mizid b'chilul Hashem. When it comes to desecrating God's name, God says, I treat the person who does it by mistake or on purpose the same way, because a person has to take great care not to desecrate God's name. Says the Rambam, "Ata yodea min hakatuv sheyesh avon al hashogeg." You know from the verses that a sin, even when it's done by mistake, is called a sin. V'lefichach tzrich kapara b'korban. That's why it needs atonement with a sacrifice. V'amal bo Hashem v'nislach lo mechatato asher chata. God says, after the person brings the sacrifice, he will be forgiven for his sin. So you see that a sin that's done by mistake, that doesn't mean it's not a sin. The Torah calls it a sin. The Torah says, you bring a sacrifice for a sin that was done by mistake, and then you get atonement. We understand a person needs atonement. It's not enough to say, well, I didn't know, I it was a mistake. Okay, it was a mistake, so rectify.
It's a difference. It's both on the same scale.
Okay.
Seems to be saying that it is almost a mistake.
Let's see, wait. Ela, she'inoka mezid blisafek, says the Rambam, but undoubtedly doesn't have the same weight as someone who purposely sins. Lefi shehu yitalet tzidko milashvot et hamezid keshogeg b'shum davar min hadvarim. Because God obviously is righteous, and he wouldn't equate a person who purposely sins to someone who makes a sin by mistake. Ela kavanato kan, but what he means to say here, shebechilul Hashem ben shaya mezid o shogeg bagalui nifrein mimenu. When he says, doesn't matter whether you did it on purpose or by mistake, he doesn't mean that in God's eyes it's the same. He means that this promise that the Mishnah gives us, a person who desecrates God's name in hiding, he will be shamed publicly, he'll be paid back publicly, that promise applies whether he did it by mistake or on purpose. Obviously there's a difference in weight in the sin, whether he did it by mistake or on purpose. But this aspect of the punishment, that the punishment will be public, that aspect of about that, the Mishnah says they're equal. Imaya mezid, avon mezid, veimaya shogeg, avon shogeg, ela sheshnei onshin begalui. The sin is a different sin if he did it on purpose or not. If he did it on purpose, it's a sin of on purpose. If by mistake, it's the weight of by mistake. The only point is that both of them will be punished publicly. Yes, sir.
But if Hashem knows that person's going to sin, why even punish him to start with?
Excellent question. Maybe we'll get to that later. If we get to this question, looks like we're not going to get to every question tonight. Okay, Mishnah Vav, Rabbi Ishmael Bno Omer, and with this we'll conclude for tonight, this Mishnah. Rabbi Ishmael, his son, taught, Halamed al menat lilamed. If someone learns for the sake of teaching, maspikin biyadol lilmodu lamed. Then from heaven, they try to ensure that he will make it to learn and teach. Valomed al menat laasot, but if someone learns for the sake of performing, maspikin biyado, so in heaven they try to ensure, they give him enough that he should succeed, lilmod, to learn, lilamed, to teach, velaasot, and to perform. So we should all try to learn with the thought that I'll perform what I'm learning, that I'm going to do it. It's not just theoretical. Our learning is for the sake of living a Torah lifestyle. It's not just theory. Okay.